Good morning. Merry Christmas. Before I get started, I want to invite those who are ages 4 through 2nd grade to be dismissed for children's worship. If we haven't met yet, I've been around for a while, but my name is Dan Passarelli. I've been part of the preaching team here for the last few months. I'm a pastor over at Chapelgate. I'm also the president of Metro Baltimore Seminary, I'm so glad to be here with you all again. As we come to the climax of the Christmas season this weekend and look towards the end of 2021, I just want to say how much I've enjoyed being with you all, worshiping and bringing God's word to you over the last few months. It's been a real joy to me. My heart has been warmed as I've worshiped with you all. I'm thankful for you. God is clearly at work among this church, and I'm just glad to have gotten to be a part of it. So we're in our final Sunday of Advent, which means this is our last week looking at Matthew's account of all that took place surrounding Jesus's birth. So much of what happens at Christmas takes place at night. The angel comes to Joseph while he's asleep. The shepherds are watching their flocks at night. The wise men see a star rising in the east. We assume that's also at night. Joseph and Mary flee with the baby Jesus at night to go to Egypt. And I don't think any of that's by accident. The darkness of night is a picture of what our world is like apart from Jesus. I think that the Christmas carol, O Holy Night, says it really well. There's a line in there that says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared." Before Jesus came, the world lay in sin and error. It was covered in darkness. And the thing about darkness is that it obscures things. It makes it hard to see. It makes it hard to see the way forward. Even though Jesus has come into our world to bring light, we still live in a world where there's tension between darkness and light. And sometimes it feels like we are still stumbling around in the dark, trying to find our way forward. The future is often unclear, isn't it? Relationships are confusing, and happy endings aren't guaranteed. And so the question is, how do you move forward when you aren't able to see the way? How do you move forward when things are so uncertain? How do you move forward when you can't even imagine a future beyond today? How do you move forward when you can see a little bit of the path and it just is impossible to walk on? The way forward in a dark world is through the light that comes through Jesus at Christmas. Let's listen to Matthew tell the story one more time this Advent season. Hear now God's word from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your words so that we don't have to stumble around in the dark trying to figure out the way forward, but you have given us the way in your word. You've given us your Spirit who walks with us and points us each day to Jesus. We pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Open our hearts to receive your message. Whatever is in us as a community, whatever is in me that would keep us from hearing from you, we ask you to break through that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, Pastor PD and I were talking and about the passage, and each of us, actually independently of the other, noticed something that's very obvious in the passage, but we had just sort of, it's so obvious that we just kind of passed over it. And that is that the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at verses in the passage that all take place in Joseph's dreams. Joseph decides to divorce Mary quietly, and then he goes to sleep. And it's in his dreams that God's messenger comes to him. It's in his dreams that the angel speaks, that he's told that Mary was not an adulterer, but that God had come and given the baby that was inside her. He's told in his dreams that he should take her home, that he should name the child Jesus. It's in his dream world that he hears the explanation from the prophet Isaiah and the promise that this child would be Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what hit both PD and me this week. Up to now, Joseph has been asleep. It's all been a dream. Not that he was making it up. I mean, it was real. God really appeared to him. God's message to him was real. But it came to him while he was sleeping in a dream. But now as we turn our focus to the last two verses in Matthew chapter 1, we find Joseph waking up from his sleep. And as he wakes up, he's faced with the truth of having to move forward in a world that is still quite dark. He has been given the light in his dream, but now he has to move forward in the real world. In the real world with complicated relationships and an uncertain future. And that's the reality of the darkness that all of us still face in our world today. We live in the real world with complicated relationships and an uncertain future. And as we see how Joseph moved forward into that world, it points us to the good news that each of us can move forward in our dark world as we cling to the same promise that was given to Joseph. So how many of you can remember dreams that you've had? My wife doesn't remember her dreams hardly ever, whereas I have vivid dreams that I can still, I mean, I could tell you things I dreamed about when I was a kid. Some of my dreams are quite disturbing. I have dreams about being part of the mafia. Now, that's probably my Italian heritage coming out, right? But I mean, when I wake up, I have to remind myself that I'm not about to go to prison for being part of the mob. Sometimes I dream that I'm trying to run, you know, usually away from something, but like I can never, like, it's like my legs don't work. I have to like consciously think, okay, pick up the next foot. Why is this so hard? I don't understand, right? And then I wake up and I'm just so relieved that whatever it is I was running away from isn't there trying to get me. Dreams feel so real in the moment. And when you wake up and are faced with the real world, you recognize that there's a disconnect between the two, right? The real world is not your dream world. Joseph wakes up from his dream and he faces the real world. What will he do? How will he respond now that it's no longer a dream? Now, in some ways, Joseph's response is already determined by the fact that Matthew calls him a righteous man. He's a righteous man, so we know what he's going to do. Of course, he's going to do what God tells him to do in his dream. But let's not miss the giant step of faith that Joseph has to take. It's a big difference between receiving the message in a dream and waking up to face the real world with its real problems and real darkness. When Joseph woke up, Mary was still pregnant. He was still going to be the father of a son who was not biologically his. And in his dream, everything was clear. The child was from the Holy Spirit. Take her home. Call him Jesus. He is Emmanuel. But he had to wake up from that dream. He had to live in the real world. That wasn't quite so clear. Imagine Joseph lying there in his bed, waking up from his dream. This isn't a dream that you wake up from and are relieved to see that the real world is not like your dream. He woke up, and I can imagine him saying, oh man, can I just go back to the dream? Because it's all a lot clearer. Joseph wasn't waking up to the light. He was waking up from the light, getting back to the darkness of the real world where stuff is unclear. So how does he move forward? I realize we're speculating a little bit because the text doesn't let us in on Joseph's internal thoughts. It simply says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife. That is a response of obedience that's rooted in faith. It required that Joseph believed the message he received in order to put it into action. His obedience was rooted in faith. It is the response of faith. And that, his faith in God's message, is what allowed him to move forward in the darkness of the real world. It allowed him to face the reality of life as it was and not his dreams. And what's the focus of Joseph's faith? It's the promise he's just been given one verse before. Emmanuel, God with us. It was God's presence in the real world with Joseph that allowed him to move forward into the realities of his life, to take the next step. The next step was to take his wife. It means he took her into his home to live with him as a husband and wife normally would do. Living in reality is the way forward. Joseph had to wake up from his dream. He had to face reality, but he could face reality because God had intruded into reality. He wasn't alone in facing it. Christmas is about the intrusion of God into the reality of your life. To move forward in the real world, you have to be honest about your reality. You have to be honest about your situation. Christmas is about the light of God's presence shining into the darkness of the real world. And that only happens when we're honest about our situation. Now, sometimes the hype of Christmas actually makes it a lot harder to be honest about the reality of the situation, doesn't it? You know, we have all these presents under the tree waiting to help obscure the reality of life for one day. It's almost like it's an escape from the hard things of life. But sometimes, actually, the gifts of Christmas confront us with the reality. Here's what I mean. Many of you are probably aware there were some devastating tornadoes that blew through Kentucky and several other states a few weeks ago. This week, I heard on the radio an interview with the wife of Kentucky's governor, and she was talking about a toy drive that they were doing for all of the families who had literally watched Christmas be sucked out of their homes by the wind. The lack of gifts puts on display the reality of life, that we live in a world of uncertain futures and sometimes very unhappy endings. And we can't get away from that. We can't avoid that. As the interviews that I was listening to went on, they interviewed over and over people saying, I don't know how we're going to rebuild from this. Our world is dark. How do we move forward? It's not by pretending that everything is going to be okay. It's not by imagining that life is always easy. It's not by trying to escape back into a dream world where things are clear. It's not by dreaming about the life we wish we had, or by withdrawing from reality into a smaller world that we can control, whether that's the world of social media or the world of our children or whatever it is. We move forward in a world where things are still dark by acknowledging the hard and by looking in faith to the one who has promised to be with us in the darkness. And then we take the next step. Now, sometimes the next step isn't clear. I'm fully aware of that. Because we don't all get dreams like Joseph did. But if the next step isn't clear, we ask God for clarity. We make sure we aren't taking a step that is forbidden in his word. And then we step forward, knowing that the certainty that we're stepping into isn't guaranteed by my own ability to discern the right path. The certainty we step into is guaranteed by the presence of God, who promises to be Emmanuel, God with us, and who has kept that promise in Jesus. Jesus secures the certainty of God's presence by his arrival at Christmas and by his life, his death, and his resurrection. That's why I loved one of the songs we were singing this morning. We sang Hosanna. That's typically a cry that's associated with the celebration of Easter, isn't it? Because that's what they cry when Jesus enters into Jerusalem Good Friday. It's not Good Friday. What's the word? Palm Sunday. Thank you. Yeah, you all knew. Hosanna is typically associated with Palm Sunday and Easter, but it is just as appropriate to sing it as at Christmas because it's all one. The arrival of Jesus that guarantees God's presence with us. And that's what gave Joseph the ability to move forward and take Mary home. It wasn't that he had figured out how all of this was going to be okay. It wasn't even that he could explain how it all made sense. It was that God had told him to do it in the context of his promise to be God with us, Emmanuel. Joseph moved forward in the real world depending on God's promise to be with him. Now, he also moved forward into a complicated relationship. After Joseph wakes up, he takes his wife. But Matthew says that he did not know her until she gave birth to a son. This is the Bible's sort of euphemism for saying they weren't physically intimate. Joseph did not sleep with his wife until after Jesus was born. Matthew doesn't explain why. And we aren't given a lot of insight into Joseph's thinking on this either. But one possible clue is in the way that Matthew's description of this mirrors the angel's words to Joseph. The angel says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And in the same way, when Joseph wakes, he takes Mary as his wife, but he has one translation says he has no union with her. He doesn't know her. It sort of reinforces the idea that Jesus was not conceived naturally. There's no way for it to have happened, even if they were sort of off a little bit in their timing, because Joseph and Mary weren't physically intimate at all during the entire course of her pregnancy with Jesus. It reinforces this idea that Jesus is from the Holy Spirit. But again, thinking about this from Joseph's perspective, everything was clear in his dream, but when he wakes up, he has to deal with this complicated reality of the very human relationship he has with Mary. He has a wife, and yet he does not sleep with her. That's complicated. I don't know if you've ever used that word complicated to sort of gloss over relational difficulties. You know, oh, it's complicated between me and my sister. Oh, my parents? Yeah, it's complicated. That's a relationship status that you can choose on Facebook. You know that, right? You know, what's your relationship? It's complicated. That would have definitely defined Joseph's status with Mary, at least looking from the outside in. It's complicated. I know the dream made it clear, and from God's perspective, there's nothing complicated about it, but in the real world, it was complicated. And sometimes it feels like Christmas puts all of those complications in our relationships on display, doesn't it? We have to see family we don't normally spend time with, and even if we like them, it just feels a bit awkward. There's extra pressure for everything to go according to plan. It's complicated. Maybe you don't have family around to spend Christmas with. And Christmas puts that on display too. You have to answer the question, so what are your plans for the holidays? Well, it's complicated, right? How do we move forward in the complications of the very real relationships that we all have? Well, if you look at the story of humanity's relationship to God, complicated about sums it up. We were made for God to be in relationship with him, but we tried to live life without him. And at the same time, we couldn't stand being without him, so we tried to fill that lack with anything we could get our hands on. We worshiped animals, trees, the sun, moon, even each other. We bow down to money. We seek to drown out the fact that we miss God by pursuing pleasure or by living strict lives of austerity. We invent the moralistic God of legalism who's always watching over us to whack us when we get out of line. Or we invent the God, the therapeutic God, who looks a lot like Santa Claus, there whenever we need a little help from the man upstairs. The history of God's people Israel is one big tangled web of God pursuing relationship with people and people always, always, always making it complicated. Abraham was promised a son. So what does he do? He doesn't have a son with his wife, so he takes his wife's servant. I'll just help God out a little bit. It's complicated. Esau inherits God's promise, but he counts it so little that he sells it to his brother Jacob for a bowl of soup. Jacob himself was always scheming. It was complicated. David's heart was with God until he saw a beautiful woman, and then his heart was with her. Time and time and time again, we make it complicated. And if you think it was only them, you know, back then, consider, when was the last time you tried to rationalize a greedy look or a jealous thought or an angry word by convincing yourself that it wasn't really that bad? It was just a little slip up. We complicate our relationship with God all the time. But Jesus' arrival as God with us changed all of that. He came to uncomplicate the relationship with God once and for all, to make it profoundly simple. Trust in Jesus and you are forgiven. Put your faith in him and live with him forever as God with us. It's that simple. It is the most straightforward, uncomplicated relationship we will ever have. Now, we continue to complicate it from our end, but from God's end, it is completely uncomplicated. It's this promise of God with us that allows Joseph to move forward into the complicated nature of his marriage. Now, again, I'm not saying that our relationships are complicated in the same way as Joseph's. Joseph is the only person ever to experience this particular complication in a relationship. But that doesn't let any of us off the hook. We all have complications in different ways. Each of us encounters problems, issues in our relationships that obscure the way forward, that make it difficult to even contemplate what is the next step in this relationship. What do we do next? But the promise of God with us allows us to move into our complicated relationships with the confidence of the one relationship that is free of all complications, because Jesus has put an end to anything that would make our relationship with God anything but straightforward. He put an end to them on the cross so that now there is a direct line in our relationship to God. Come to him in faith through Jesus, and you are his. Joseph trusted God and responded in faith. He woke up and faced the reality of the world. He didn't hide from it. He moved forward in the complicated reality of his very human relationship with Mary. And finally, Joseph also had to move forward without knowing where it was all going. He obeyed God and in faith gave his son the name Jesus. But he had no idea what that name would end up meaning. There was no way he could have known. Joseph moved forward not knowing where the path led. The name Jesus was derived from the Hebrew name Joshua, meaning the Lord saves. And as the angel explained to Joseph, it was given because Jesus would save his people from their sins. How did he do it? Saving his people from their sins meant stepping into their place and taking on their life and giving his life in exchange for theirs, taking on the death that they deserve, that we deserve for our sin, for all the complications we introduce in our relationship with God. By giving him the name Jesus, in one sense, Joseph sealed the fate of his son. Joseph set Jesus on the path that would lead him to the cross. Now, Joseph didn't know that's what he was doing, and I know that this was the path God had laid out for him, that the Father set out and that the Son willingly walked in. We read that passage from Philippians that talks about the Son's willingness to enter into that path. But I wonder if Joseph would have still named him Jesus if he knew he was naming his son for his death. Joseph couldn't see the full path ahead. And I think actually it was that fact that he couldn't see the way forward, that he had to step out in faith, trusting God's promise to be God with us, that enabled him to move forward. I think if he had seen the way forward all the way to the end, it would have been impossible to move there. Sometimes in life we feel paralyzed because we're in the dark about the future. Whether it's a decision about where to go to school, whether to take a different job, whether there even will be a job to take, who to marry, where to live, all of the countless decisions that we feel like we can't see the end result of. And that can be overwhelming sometimes. I think it's actually a good thing that we can't see into the future, because who would have the courage to step into it if we could? We are in the dark about the future, and that forces us to decide with only God's promise to be with us, guaranteed by Jesus' life and death, that enables us to move forward. And that's actually a freeing truth, because the truth is, if we could see all the way down the road, we might not choose to walk on it. God's presence is the way forward. It always has been for God's people. Think about all of the stories in Scripture where God's presence is real with his people. The story of the Exodus, where the pillar of fire and smoke lead them. Think about Jesus' own words to his disciples, "I will be with you to the end of the age." And then they receive the Spirit in tongues of fire on Pentecost. Think about the angel appearing to Peter and John in prison and leading them out before disappearing. God's presence was real in all of those cases. And while we may not be able to see him here today, his presence is just as real. He is still Emmanuel, God with us in the midst of our dark world. We have his presence with us by his Spirit and with each other. We are the people who embody God's presence to one another and to the world around us. We are the people who live as the light shining in the darkness of our world that allows our world to move forward, not hiding from reality, not avoiding the complications, not paralyzed by the unknown future, because the God who is with us is the God who gave himself in love for us. He isn't the scolding God of legalistic religion, and he isn't the fantasy Santa Claus God of popular imagination. He is the God who gave himself in love on the cross. He knew where it was all going. He knew where Christmas was leading, and he promises to be God with us then and now and into the future forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for that promise. We come to you as people who still live in the tension of a world where things aren't always clear, where light is often crowded out by the darkness. But we know that you have not only promised, but you have fulfilled your promise in Jesus to be with us. Jesus secures our place with you and your presence with us forever. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to keep us mindful of that and to give us power to move forward in the world because you go with us, ahead of us, behind us, and around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.